Welcome to OnClive On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. OnClive On Air is a podcast from OnClive, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, OnClive covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Michael A. Sakaris, MD, about the FDA approval of quizartinib in combination with chemotherapy in patients with newly diagnosed FLT3 ITD-positive acute myeloid leukemia. Dr. Sakaris is a professor of medicine and chief of the Division of Hematology, Leukemia Section at the University of Miami Health System in Florida. On July 20, 2023, the FDA approved quizartinib plus standard cytarabine and anthracycline induction and cytarabine consolidation and as maintenance monotherapy after consolidation chemotherapy for adult patients with newly diagnosed FLT3 ITD-positive AML. This approval was supported by findings from the Phase 3 Quantum First trial in which, at a median follow-up of 32.9 months, patients who received quizartinib plus chemotherapy achieved a median overall survival of 31.9 months versus 15.1 months with placebo plus chemotherapy. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Sakaris discussed the significance of this approval, key efficacy and safety data from Quantum First, and how this quizartinib regimen addresses an unmet need for older patients with FLT3 ITD-positive AML. All right, so speaking about the FDA approval of quizartinib in FLT3 ITD AML, can you describe the significance of this approval?
Patients who have acute myeloid leukemia with a FLT3 internal tandem duplication in ITD have a particularly poor risk type of acute myeloid leukemia. For the first time, we had a drug that could treat these folks in the form of midostaurin, which was approved a few years ago. And that did significantly improve overall survival in patients who received midostaurin compared to placebo in a trial that took about a decade to complete. So it was really, really challenging to identify these patients. And those who have an internal tandem duplication represent about 25% of patients with a new diagnosis of acute myeloid leukemia. Now, one of the aspects of that trial that has made it a little bit difficult for us to apply the results to everybody is that enrollment into the trial was limited to patients who were under the age of 60 years. So we have been treating older adults with midostaurin, but with a little bit of pause because they weren't truly studied in that trial. In addition, patients who were enrolled into the RATIFY trial of midostaurin could have either an internal tandem duplication, which is a poor risk FLT3 mutation, or they could have a tyrosine kinase domain mutation, which is actually just an intermediate risk mutation. So what is it that the Quantum First study with quizartinib did? Well, first of all, it focused on those higher risk patients with a FLT3 internal tandem duplication who had acute myeloid leukemia and were newly diagnosed. And secondly, it enrolled patients up to the age of 75 years. So it really addressed head on that older adult population. And what the trial showed was that there was improved overall survival for patients who received quizartinib in addition to traditional induction chemotherapy for acute myeloid leukemia compared to those who received placebo in addition to the traditional induction chemotherapy for acute myeloid leukemia. In fact, the median overall survival was approximately doubled for those who received quizartinib compared to those who received placebo. There are a couple of aspects of this that I think are a step forward. First of all, we now have a second drug available to treat patients upfront with a new diagnosis of acute myeloid leukemia who are receiving intensive induction chemotherapy. Secondly, we now have a drug that has been shown to be effective in older adults who actually represent the bulk of patients with a new diagnosis of acute myeloid leukemia. And finally, we have evidence that this particular drug works well in patients who have the high-risk internal tandem duplication variety of the FLT3 mutation.
Can you just describe the mechanism of action of quizartinib?
Patients who have a FLT3 mutation, it's also known as a tyrosine kinase domain mutation. It's basically a signal to keep the leukemia cell dividing and dividing and dividing. And this inhibits that mutation that drives the leukemia cell to continue to divide, thereby undoing the growth aspect of that leukemia cell.
Is there anything else that you wanted to say about efficacy findings from the Quantum First trial?
Sure. Well, the primary objective of the study was to focus on overall survival. And as I mentioned, the median overall survival for patients who received the quizartinib was approximately double those who received placebo. So the median overall survival, to be specific, was about 32 months for those who received quizartinib compared to 15 months for those who received placebo. There was also a significant improvement in relapse-free survival for those who received quizartinib compared to placebo, and a reduction in the cumulative incidence of relapse for those who received quizartinib versus placebo. The one funny thing about these FLT3 inhibitors when they're used in the upfront setting is that they actually don't improve the complete response rate. So the complete response rates between the arms were similar, but then you can see in the survival curves that the curves separate where those receiving quizartinib start to have a significantly improved overall survival at about the 6-month mark.
What does the safety profile look like for quizartinib in this population?
It's very challenging to assess safety in patients who have acute myeloid leukemia who are receiving induction chemotherapy. The leukemia itself can cause a number of devastating side effects. And as we all know, without treatment, people can die from acute leukemia within weeks. And those deaths are related to infections and bleeding complications. So separating out infections and bleeding complications in patients who then receive another drug, can actually be very challenging. What we saw looking at the adverse event profiles, of course, if you look at the absolute number, it's about 100% for both arms. Well, of course, these folks have acute leukemia and are treated with induction chemotherapy. When you focus on drug-related adverse events, it is higher in the quizartinib arm versus placebo at 60% versus 36%. And when you look at what those events are related to, there are slightly higher rates of fever and neutropenia at 11% versus 8%, similar rates of things like pneumonia and sepsis. One thing that did come out were cardiac events. So there is significantly more QT prolongation in patients who received quizartinib versus those who received placebo. And that has resulted in not only a black box warning on the FDA approval, but also enrollment in a REMS program to receive quizartinib.
Looking kind of towards the future of this agent, where would you say that this agent will fit in the treatment paradigm for AML going forward?
So right now, it's approved in combination with intensive induction therapy. So patients who are admitted to the hospital and receive what we commonly call 7+3 therapy, 7 days of cytarabine and 3 days of an anthracycline or anthracyanidione. Where I see things going is now starting to look at quizartinib and other FLT3 inhibitors in combination with venetoclax and a hypomethylating agent, which is increasingly becoming a standard for treating particularly older adults with acute myeloid leukemia around the world. So we're going to start to see more, I believe, outpatient use as opposed to inpatient use in clinical trials. And eventually, we'll see if there's an advantage to giving a three-drug regimen, including a hypomethylating agent, venetoclax, and a FLT3 inhibitor compared to just a hypomethylating agent and venetoclax alone.
What would you say is your main message for colleagues regarding this drug and this approval?
I think my main message is that we now have two agents we can use upfront in the treatment of FLT3 internal tandem duplication positive patients who have acute myeloid leukemia. And both of these drugs are also used in the post-remission and maintenance setting as well. I think that over time, we'll develop a comfort level with each of these agents and start to determine which is better tolerated by our patients and which seems to produce better efficacy.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.